Welcome to Series 5, Episode 9 of Conversational Negro Mountain, a podcast about the tribe. I'm your host, Lance, and joining the podcast panel today is Liz.
Hello.
And Sabine.
Hi.
With episode notes done by Matt and myself. So Series 5, Episode 9, the screenplay was done by David Fox. It was directed by Sally Ann Kerr, and the episode synopsis was read out by Sabine.
Whilst the Mallrats worry about how to deal with Ebony, Celine comes to a decision after Pride's funeral. Meanwhile, Mega weaves a web around May.
So, a handful of Mallrats hold a funeral for Pride in the woods.
He never really joined us. Not officially. He was too much his own man, a loner. Why do we need tribes, he used to say? When everyone on the planet is connected. And yet, in some ways, he represented everything the Mallrats stand for.
While Amber blames herself for keeping him away from his own tribe, May is also struggling with her guilt, despite Trudy trying to comfort her with a surprisingly optimistic reflection on Pride's death. So yeah, panel, what did you make of the ceremony here and the Mallrats' different reactions?
I think the first thing that bothered me with this is the fact that Mouse isn't there. Like, I can get Sammy and Gal not being there or the babies, but Mouse?
Yeah, I did. I figured, okay, if you're not going to let Mouse be there to get her closure, because Pride was obviously very important to her, even though he gave up being daddy really early on, doesn't matter. It's what he meant to her. And at this age, she definitely needs this closure to say goodbye and to see what has happened to him, where he is, you know. But I was like, okay, I'll accept that the city isn't safe to take the kids out. You can't take the babies out. You need to leave a handful of people behind to keep the vulnerable ones safe. I bought all of that. But when they got back to the mall and just opened the grill without the crank and Mega was just hanging out in there, I was like, this was pointless. Like, you left Mouse behind, obviously for her safety, but anybody could have walked in the mall and done anything to her or the babies. You know what I mean? What were Gel and Sammy going to do? And so at first I thought, okay, there's a logic behind it. I understand. And then we got back to the mall and I said, you should have just brought the whole tribe to the freaking funeral because you clearly didn't keep them safe at the mall. This was stupid. So that was my feeling about that. Like, wait, what?
I'm going to be honest. This felt like a filming schedule thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just couldn't get everybody out of set. So it was like, oh, because it doesn't make sense to me.
It didn't even register with me that Jack was apparently there. Because I did see him when they walked back into the mall, but it didn't register with me that he was there when they were burying him.
It felt very saccharine and I didn't feel anything. I didn't
Bob
even feel
a better funeral.
Right. Like, I felt more. I didn't feel anything at this funeral. And it's not because the characters aren't sad. I just didn't care about this character anymore. I felt more when Ned died. You know what I mean? Yeah. I really did. Even though everybody but Alice was just like, this is awkward, I still felt something, you know? I didn't feel anything.
This is a problem for me, because I didn't feel like they cared much.
No.
Amber's all like, okay, somebody's got to say something. Like, you all have been deeply in Pride's life, but no one, I just didn't feel anything from the writing in this. And
that's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, you have made her. Who,
yeah,
you know, could have said something. We have Celine there. Okay, fine. Celine's grieving. We have Amber there, who, you know, was the one who did say something, even though she barely said anything. There was Trudy, who spent time with Pride after, you know, he was the one who took her to the Eco Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And helped her for a while.
I mean, even Jay. Like, they become friends after saving each other's lives and stuff. They're building that bond. Like, to have nothing here is weird.
It is weird, especially since, like, okay, it made sense when Ned died and nobody but Alice cared because nobody liked Ned. That was established. He wasn't a friendly person. And so it made sense that the rest of them were just kind of like, you know, but this is, they're trying to enforce the fact that pride was important to these people. And as you said, it doesn't really feel like anyone but Celine and May actually care all that much that he's gone. They're just kind of like, eh, you know, and I'd be fine with that if they explored more that this is just the head state that many of these kids would end up being in after living in Tribe World for so long and constantly losing people. You know, like, I will excuse Amber for being a little just like, just one more loss. I'm still not even over Bray. You know what I mean? Like, I'll accept that she's not in a headspace to deal with this. But yeah, you have other people who were supposed to be close to Pride, have been friends with Pride on some level, who don't care that he's dead. And it's like, you need to explore why that is when you're trying to, the tone is that everybody should be upset. This is a great loss to everyone. And it's like the very people at his funeral, it doesn't really feel that way. It feels like nobody really cares all that much.
And it feels odd. I mean, while I get that they got numb at some point, I mean, I've lived through years of my teenage life with losing people around me constantly of my own age. Yes, you get numb to a certain level, but not as disinterested as this.
It's almost like the writers didn't have anything to say about him.
It's like even Trudy going, well, could have been worse, could have been Celine as well. I mean, that, and the moment he said that, my brain was like, yeah, actually, now, and with it being Pride, yeah, I would have minded more if it was Celine.
Yeah, I would have too. I would have been really pissed off if she died because May backstabbed her. I would have been like, that Celine didn't deserve to go out like that. You know, I would have felt something. I would have been like, oh, she's got to go. But because what May did got Pride killed, I'm like, whatever. He did her dirty anyway. I don't care. Like,
they filmed this in the way that we actually seem to feel about it.
They did. That's why I said it's like the writers had nothing to say. And so they didn't really put any words in the characters' mouths. I will say this. I am glad that it was Celine who did speak so highly of him, because at least in that, I can say that's her personal opinion of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not who he really was, but she loved him and was going to marry the guy. So it's fair for her to think these things of Pride. So I appreciated that those words were at least in her mouth and not somebody else. Like, I was like, okay, I'll accept it. You feel that way, and that's okay. You're allowed to feel that way.
And Amber feeling a little bit guilty about not letting him go back earlier. Fine.
Even though she never showed any...
Yeah.
Come on. Sorry. She wasn't even in the city for most of the war. Okay? She's not the reason this man stayed.
No, but that's just more the...
Mm-hmm.
He stayed there in the first place because of her, and then he stayed there afterwards because, well, you know, his own reasons. But that's just...
I mean, even when he found out that, you know, Amber... Like, I get it. In the beginning, he didn't know where Amber had gone, and that's why he's staying in the city to find out if the Technos took her, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But he does find out eventually that Amber wasn't taken by the Technos initially, and that she's going back to the Gaians. And that's when he could have been like, oh, okay, Amber's fine. If Amber's the reason, if she's holding this guilt, like, Amber, he had opportunities to go home.
Yeah.
You didn't tell him to stay in the city. Okay. So it's not your principles that kept him there. I mean, maybe she means that he was trying to do what she would have wanted and fight for her city, you know, and crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we did see some of that from Pride, where he admitted that, you know, he understands why Amber was fighting for the city and he wants to fight for her too, blah, blah, blah. So maybe that's what she's talking about. But I just want to be like, Amber, you don't need to feel guilty about Pride. You know, the guy and you should feel guilty about is that poor guy that was stuck watching Java for weeks and you didn't give him any message about going home. That's the guy and you should have been concerned about. But Pride was a free man, okay? I did like that Trudy was one of the only people to notice that May is upset, has good reason to be upset, and that she too mm-hmm. had cared about Pride and had a relationship with Pride and goes to comfort her. I appreciated that. And I'm glad that her cheerfulness was toned down, you know, reasonably for the occasion. Right, you know, like I appreciated that she wasn't like mm-hmm. all sunshine and rainbows. She was just trying to look at the silver lining and, you know, trying to comfort somebody. I don't Jay in his techno uniform at Pride's funeral, though, is a visual glitch that doesn't belong there. What? You couldn't put a robe on, dude. The man was murdered by technos. Why are you wearing this?
Everyone bothers to dress differently when Sue died, for crying out loud. Yet when one of their own, someone they claim to have cared about, dies, they can't be bothered?
And dies at the hands of a techno, and there you are.
Yeah.
In full techno regalia. Like, no.
And it's big, and it's like, fine, if you were still a techno, fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he claims that he's not a techno. This is never going to stop being weird, Jay.
No. It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. Like, come on. Why are you dressed like this? Show some respect. Come on. Wash your face. Wash your face at least. Come on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even a hoodie over this would have been better.
Something. Just anything.
So, yeah.
Surely someone can knit him one of the ugly vests Bray used to have.
Aww.
And is it me? Now, I want to know what you guys think is happening here. When he is talking to Amber and she's expressing her feeling guilty over Pride still being in the city and the fact that he only came to the city because she wanted to save it. Okay. And he tells her, you can't blame yourself. This isn't your fault. And she's like, isn't that interesting? You saying that to me. Shouldn't I be saying that to you? Do you think that was pettiness or do you think it was something else?
How I wish it was pettiness.
Wait, how do you mean? Sorry, I'm
just... It's just the way she said it. He's like, you shouldn't feel guilty. This isn't your fault. Da-da-da. You can't blame yourself. Pride did what he wanted to do, okay? And she's just like, isn't that funny? You're saying that to me. Shouldn't I be saying that to you? And I'm like, is it the line delivery that makes it feel like she's being petty? Or did someone get a different read? Is it supposed to be like her being understanding and maybe calling out her own hypocrisy of not being able to fully forgive him, you know? Or is she being petty? Like, it felt petty to me.
It did feel petty. I'm not gonna lie. It did feel petty.
Yeah.
But I assume she meant it as like, yeah, calling herself out, like, yeah, I should be saying this to you. But the way it came across was like pettiness, like, whoa, that's a bit sharp, Amber. Where did that come from?
I was like, I hope it's pettiness, but I don't know if it was supposed to be.
Exactly. It's like, I hope it was, but because let's face it, Pride died at the hand of a techno that was probably trained by Jay.
But someone wrote that thinking this was the next step in their love story, you know? Like, this is her being understanding and giving more forgiveness to him or something. But I'm like, it's not how it sounds at all.
Yeah, it didn't work if that was the intended outcome.
And she doesn't even say it harshly. There's no edge in her voice. It's very gently delivered. But I'm like, there's something about the delivery just felt like, am I the only one who's reading pettiness coming from her? Nope. And I wish that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Amber just being passive aggressive toward Jay for the rest of the season, I would have loved. Like, they're never getting together. She's never letting this go. That's what I wanted, you know?
I would have loved that, yep.
Would have loved that. Like, let's just clear the air. It's never going to happen, you know?
It's like, you cost me my baby daddy, now you've cost me Pride.
Because honestly, it should be one more reason for her to look at him and be like, nah, it can't. Your technos that you insist on dressing like, despite having left them, caused too much damage. I'm losing too many people to them. I can't. But nope, this is a part of the love story. And I'm like, this is like Anakin and Padme writing, okay?
That's such an apt analogy, yeah.
Also, where are the shovels? They clearly brought his body. They clearly retrieved his body from the streets after May told them what happened to him. And I just think it's strange that they didn't show any of the dirty work that goes with this. Almost every other funeral, almost, has shown that there was obviously work put into retrieving the body, dealing with the body, doing something with the body. Zoot is probably the most raw, because he's just sitting dead on the floor of the mall for like 24 hours before they, 12, you know, because they have to wait till morning to take him out. We see him dragging his body through the city for a while before they find some place to deal with him, putting him in the boat, all that stuff. It can be forgiven with Dal because there's a large group of people, so it's much easier to imagine everybody was putting in the work in to get Dal from the car park, you know, where he fell, to that hillside where they put him. Glenn, same thing. You know, there's been exploration that there's a body to deal with, which makes all of this the worst, that these kids have to do something. They never show them recovering Pride. They don't show any evidence that these guys had to dig his grave. They had to put him in the ground. You know, like, where are the shovels?
There was a very quick shot, like, blinking, you miss it, where Jay actually puts a shovel into the grave, and that's it. Mm-hmm. It's so quick, you would not be faulted for missing it. It's...
Okay, because I was like, when did you guys do any of this? Where has it been?
The only reference, yeah. It's
like, when did you go to get his body right after May told you what happened? Like, they don't show anything of who handled this.
Yeah, and that was such a big impact of how the children dealt with death. And like,
exactly. And so I just thought it was really weird that such a character didn't get... It was just an afterthought.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Alice cried over Ned's body for hours. Like, and she took him out to the farm by herself and buried him. That left such an impact because it's like nobody helped her deal with him. You know what I mean? Like, nobody offered to help her take care of his body. It was just her alone with her grief. And that's part of the story and what it does to her headspace. And just on and on. I just think it's weird that there's just no reference to, we got to go get Pride's body. Like, where was he, May? You saw him. You got to bring us back to him. Even if it was for May's sake, having to bring everybody back to his body, knowing that she caused this, like... Him being brought, was he brought back to the mall and then got ready to, we got to find a place to take, nothing. There is nothing. Think about last episode. Where is Pride's body that whole time? Is it still in the street? Is it in a cold room in the mall? Where is he? Before they put him in the ground. And I feel like you lose something when you ignore those steps that have always been a part of dealing with the dead in Tribe World. They don't just disappear.
100% true. Just adds fuel to the fire that they just didn't care. They just didn't care about Pride.
They didn't care about Pride. I mean, I don't blame them. They clearly, I mean, it's their fault if they didn't like him anymore. Like, you wrote him that
way. You wrote him. We didn't write him. You wrote him.
Like, how difficult was it? Even if the actor wasn't there, how difficult is it to just wrap someone up in cloth and throw them in a shopping cart?
Yep. Something. Yeah, they don't even, like, okay, there's a blink and you miss it scene with Jay and a shovel. And it is a blink and you miss it scene because I missed it. But what did they get him? Did they carry him? Did they roll him there? There's no evidence of how they got his body to this area that they chose to bury him. There's nothing because it didn't matter because nothing matters in season five. Nothing matters in season five. Bodies poof out of existence. So yeah, I think his funeral is emblematic of like all the symptoms of season five, all the problems with season five, all the carelessness of the season, and how little the creatives, the writers care about what they are presenting to us.
Right, we'll come to the aftermath of this in a minute, but first. Meanwhile, Ebony and her sisters terrorize the streets in Zoot's car before taking over the city zoo and caging the leader of the jackals. While Java delights in how things are going, Siva remains uneasy about Hala taking advantage of their sister, and speaks to Ebony in private slightly inquiring about her well-being, but this only leads to Ray's suspicions about her loyalty to Zoot.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean.
No need to be.
As long as you don't become blind to Zoot's message, as I was once. We have to give up worldly things, Siva. We have to let Zoot into our hearts. Nothing else matters.
And during all this, we get confirmation from Mega on the plan to utilize fear in order to subdue the city, a step up from Ram's previous plan of keeping the city hooked on treats. So yeah, a couple of things in this. What do you think of the relationship between the sisters in this episode, the new location in the zoo, and the plan devised by Mega and Java?
They have a point. Fear never runs out.
No, it doesn't. Only problem with fear is that people eventually stop being scared. But it's a method people have used, dictators especially, have used for ages. So, you know, it's valid. I do like that they differentiate that between Mega and Ram, their plans for taking over. You know, it's subtle, but it's there and it shows in their behavior and how they did things. And so I like that. It gives some hint to why Mega decided to usurp Ram, because we still haven't been given a reason for why he would even bother. And nobody's even asked why he would bother to take down Ram as a techno. So I do like that we're actually given, he was dissatisfied with Ram's methods and felt that it wasn't doing the job to actually subdue the city and get things done. So I was like, okay.
And it went well.
And he's like, okay, what we need is this, because this is what's going to subdue everybody and, you know, something we can actually use. So I was like, okay, I appreciate that. Finally getting an actual motive from Mega. I did like the callback of Celine in her state of mind of just burying a man she was going to marry and loved, you know, seeing, you know, the sisters, the cop car, the right, you know, the craziness in the streets and it just being too much for her. Yeah, I was like, okay, that's fair. She was there for the zoo days in the streets and she was terrified back then. And she's like, I had given up the ghost.
She was. And I get that, but why didn't Trudy look terrified?
Because she's been through more, I think. I do think Trudy has a stronger constitution than Celine. I do. And unlike with Celine, they didn't show Celine earning it. They did show Trudy having to earn that stronger constitution. From start, Trudy's had to earn the ability to stand up when things get crazy. So I'm not surprised at all that Trudy was like, oh, that sucks. But Celine was like, can't take it. Not to mention, again, her state of mind.
Yeah.
She probably has slept. She's deep grieving. She's trying to hold it together. She admitted to Amber that she doesn't feel strong at all. She wishes it were her instead of him. So it's like her fainting. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That was too much. That was too much today. It's time for a nap, you know? I do wish they would explore the gasoline in this world, because we already know that's not what I mean. I mean that the petrol left over from the regular world has gone bad now. Okay. It degrades, but that doesn't mean they couldn't produce more from other substances. And I just wish we learned that there was an industry making, like, you know, corn fuel someplace out in the countryside. In the same way that Pride told us about the windmills out there that they use to grind and make flour and stuff like that. I wish we knew if there was somebody out there like making fuel. As corn crops and stuff like that. And that's why all these kids can still fly planes, drive cars to terrorize people. Because if you're going to have them, you need to explain how they have this ability to still drive the cars.
That must have been what the farm girls got up to after they left the farm.
Because, like, I mean, we know why. They always like to bring in bigger vehicles to show a superiority. You know, everybody else.
Yeah.
Is on there, and you give them certain modes of transportation to tell us something about their freedom in this world. So in the early days, you had tiers. You had the kids on the street You have Dal and Amber and their rollerblades, which elevates them and tells you something about their intelligence, about getting around. You have Bray on his skateboard. But of course, they're competing with the locos who are running around in a police car. Tells you about the tiers of power. And they kept doing that all the way to the Chosen with their vans. And then they up the ante with the technos in a plane. And it's just like, you need to explain how they're able to do this. You can't just keep using it as shorthand for power, you know, like, because they shouldn't be able to do this anymore. Let's see what's next. I thought it was stupid when the guy introduces himself as leader of the Jackals, and you guys already know, I said this, I believe it was like the last episode, that these city leaders keep coming and going and they don't mean anything, and so I don't care. And I was glad that Ebony was just like, what do we do to Jackals? You know, and, you know, cages them, because who cares, dude? I don't care that you're the leader of the Jackals. You let this happen to the city. So I do like the way Siva approached her. It reminded me a lot of having to approach someone when you live in like a toxic, abusive family. And she just carried the behavior of someone dealing with a possibly volatile family member and how careful she is. And you still can read that she is concerned about Ebony, not just her own well-being. So I thought that read well. And actually, I like the fact that Eva doesn't seem calmed because Ebony is so calm. That's not Ebony. And she knows this isn't my sister. This isn't how she responds emotionally to things. She's not herself. The fact that Ebony is so calm is eerie because that's not her. You know what I mean? Like, she's so friendly as she's explaining things to Siva. And yet there's this like slight hint of threat. And so I thought that actually read well between both of the performers. And the zoo, I mean,
it's a change of scenery.
They found a vacant lot with some fences and stock footage of a lion, and boom, they have a zoo. They at least explain later why the animals are alive. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. It's a zoo. We always wondered about things like that in the early days, like what happened to the zoo animals, you know, and things, you know, why aren't the streets teeming with more wild animals coming into the territory? It, you know, okay, fine. This is your city zoo. It's a piece of crap, but different place, you know? I like the first hints that most of her Ebony's new warriors are females. I actually thought that was, and especially when it's explained later that that's the way it's going to be, that all leader powership roles will be filled by females. I like that because it harkens back to the days when she was following Zoot and he was just all chaos and mayhem. And once he was gone, she took the locos in a completely different direction, you know? And I do like that hint at women lead differently than guys tend to, and that this is what Ebony's always wanted, and she would do things her way, not Zoot's way. So even though Zoot is influencing her right now, it's still her show. She's still deciding how it goes. That's interesting. Anything else? I like the scene between Mega and Stats. Stats, I think, just with his eyes, is expressing a lot of regret and fear. Like, what the heck did I get myself into? I never even really wanted to kidnap that girl. It was all Wizard's idea. And what's going to happen to me next? I thought the actor did a great job with just his eyes.
And I like the sentiment. When in doubt, blame it on the wizard. It works.
I did think it was funny when Steve was like to Java, you're jealous of Ebony? And Java's like, well, yeah, you know, or she's got an imaginary boyfriend who can't leave her, you know. But I was like, isn't that just Java's personality in a nutshell? She's just jealous of her sister. Like, yep. Siva, you seem surprised. Why are you surprised? This is all Java's made up of, is just jealousy and spite. Like, that's all she is. There's nothing more to her character. Of course she's jealous of Ebony. She's always been jealous of Ebony. She never got over the roller skates.
After Mega makes it clear to May that he knows what really happened with Stats and Wizard, May tries to get information on Stats' whereabouts from Celine. Celine confesses that Pride had asked her to marry him, which May doesn't take too well. She tells Celine that Pride was too much of a free spirit and never would have gone through with it. Reflecting on her words, Celine later goes to Amber and asks her to accompany her to the Eco Camp in order to return Pride's amulet, symbolically returning him to his tribe and letting go. So yeah, panel, what do you think of the scene between Celine and May and Celine's subsequent decision?
Was it me or was he acting really off? I don't know what it was about. May acts like she's never told a lie in her life. I just didn't care for her acting as she's obviously trying to get information of what Celine might have heard from Stats and Wizard. Will anybody find out what she did? And I didn't feel it was delivered in a convincing way. Celine's lines, she also didn't come across as natural. That whole scene felt very phony. I don't know what was going on with the actresses that day or the direction that day. It's like I feel almost as if that was a pickup shot because they needed a reason for Celine to want to take the amulet back to the Gaians and realize they hadn't shot a reason for her to make that decision. I think it's weird that Celine is suddenly so cool with May, completely forgetting that both she and Pride were treating May like the villain of their relationship like days ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I get her, you know, thinking, okay, May might actually understand how I'm feeling.
Yeah, I'm going to completely forget, though, that I've been trashing her treating her like an enemy. Because, you know, she's the reason my man has problems. Like,
man is gone.
That's what I mean. I don't like that. Like, when Pride was alive, he was enough conflict for these friends to not like each other anymore. But the minute he's dead, we can be friends again. Like, I hate that trope. It just pisses me off that she's going to act like everything's cool now. We can be besties. Please comfort me because I know you loved him. Like, yeah, you did. And you both treated her like garbage. Her feelings didn't matter. But now he's dead. She's not a threat anymore. So you can be friends again. I don't like that. I hate that whole idea that she's like, oh, stay with me and comfort me because the man we both loved is dead. And you'd understand. You freaking kidding me?
Yeah, but also the whole May says one thing and instantly Celine realizes that she wants to take his amulet back. And move on. That's like, that's quite fast, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it's like, that's all May had to say is, I don't believe he would want to marry you because that's just not the kind of guy he would. Like, Celine, didn't you have any faith in your love with this man? Till the end, this woman didn't have faith in their love because she's that easily even like, oh, like the guy asked you to marry him, Celine. Like, you should at least have faith in what you two had. Okay, but no, even at this point, there's like doubt wedged into what she had with him. And I'm like, is that realization that he wasn't the guy you want to believe he was? Like, I don't know, but it's a reason for her to do what she's going to do, but who the frick cares? You know what I mean? But yeah, the whole thing just feels like, did you guys watch when you wrote this, did you watch the relationship between Celine and Pride? What are you getting at here? What are you trying to tell us about this relationship? How was May able to put a dent in Celine's belief that this is where Pride wanted to be? Like, I don't know why saying that he was a free spirit who would have wanted to go back to the woods should make her doubt that he still wanted to be with her.
Yes, she could have followed him into the woods.
Like, I'm like, you guys didn't discuss this? When he asked you to marry him, did you guys have a discussion of where your lives would be after that? Like, or was it decided he's staying here with you because this is your home? And that's why he wants to marry you, to stay with you. Why should you immediately doubt that? Because May, remember, the woman who was also in love with him and lost him to you, said something. Like, I don't like the simplistic nature of these females and their friendships and their loves. And I mean, I would have been suspicious if that was how May reacted to me telling her that. And she immediately was like, huh, get real. Like, he wouldn't have done that. He didn't want to be here. I would have been like, yeah, that's the petty bitch who's still in love with the man that chose me. Okay. But that makes sense for her to say. I would immediately assume it was her hurt. I wouldn't immediately doubt the man I loved unless I always knew that there was something wrong with the man I loved. what I'm saying? Like, that doubt came from somewhere, and she felt it immediately, and immediately wants to let go of the one thing she has of him. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't even think about it.
Yeah, it's all very quick. It's way too quick.
I would have preferred if she had a different reason for wanting his amulet to go back to the Gaians.
Mm.
You know, like, more of an understanding that her lover, the man she was going to marry, had a duality to him. And that while he loved her, a part of him always did want to be in the forest and be free. And she'd like to return some part of him to that, where he could be free. Not this whole, I'm letting him go because I doubt he actually wanted to marry me, because a woman who was dating him before me and was obviously jealous that we were together said something to make me doubt our whole relationship. I would rather it be more like, I loved that man and this is who he was. Mm-hmm. And I want to give a piece of his spirit back to the place he was the happiest when he wasn't with me, because he was giving up something because he loved me. And I appreciate that. And his body will always remain here, and I'll always have a piece of him, but I want a piece of him to be like, there'd be a you know what I mean? I just wish it was mm-hmm. a different reason.
There's so many people who could have given her that reason.
Right. You know, just a different reason for her wanting to do it rather than, I doubt what we had, so I have to let him go. Oh my word. This relationship was crap. Okay. It's like the writers know it was crap. I mean, when people like bury a stuffed bunny with a loved one, they don't do it because they're like, they loved that stuffed bunny more than me, so they should be together. You know what I mean? Like, it's not why they do it.
Oh, well, then we could have buried May next to him.
Jeez. It could just be like, I want to return him to his friends and the family that has also lost him. It could just be, the Ecos need to know.
We should tell Hawk.
Right. I'm surprised that wasn't Amber's idea. Like, it could have been Amber, like, I have to go back because the others need to know what happened to him. And then they could have gotten on the conversation of Celine being like, I would like to go with you. I'd like to return some things to them that belong to him. I have a feeling Pride would want those things with them. Like, there's so many ways we could have gotten them on this journey mm-hmm. to the Gaians that would have worked better. But neither one of them even realized the Gaians should know that Pride's dead. Amber, who was just feeling guilty at his graveside, doesn't consider, gee, I think the Gaians should know that Pride's never coming back because he's dead. Oh, and I should tell him I'm never coming back either. Nothing.
So yeah, meanwhile, Slade has been gathering computer parts for Ram for an unknown project instigated by Slade himself. Mocking Ram's nerdery alongside some casual ableism, Slade wonders about Ram's disability.
Look, what do you know about reality space?
Is that like paradise?
This was before the days of paradise. Back in those days, we had no safety features. Didn't know we'd need them. Just strap yourself in and enjoy the ride. It was a blast. Look, when you were a kid, do you ever dream you were running down the street? And then suddenly, you just took off, leaving the ground behind.
And there I was thinking it was just about clicking a mouse. You tried to fly, didn't you?
So panel, what do you make of Slade and Ram's plans and this insight into Ram's backstory?
No, we're just rewriting everything about Ram. He wasn't sick. He just couldn't walk because of... Okay. It's fine. Okay. He wasn't sick and dying. He just couldn't walk. That has been the issue.
I'm so confused when they threw this in. So first, I thought Ram was gravely ill. This disability that was caused by an illness. But now, it turns out... It was just from reality space.
He thought he could fly, and nobody diagnosed him. He assumed because he fell and couldn't walk instantly, that he would never walk again.
So this obviously happened after the events, the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So what was with all the medicine? Was it all in Ram's head? Like, are we going to explain this? Or we're just going to pretend none of that ever happened?
None of that happened. His intense... phobia of germs, the whole fact that he was gravely sick, physically sick. We saw him dying, sweating, dead on death's door. But now, no, it was nothing. That had nothing to do with that illness. He was just What?
It was no. It just wasn't related to each other.
Apparently,
that's mad.
They wrote it out entirely. It never existed. It's one thing to be like, oh, he just got better somehow, miraculously recovered. No, they wrote it out entirely. He was completely. Never sickly.
He was never sick.
It's like he became a germaphobe after the virus. So he thought everything would kill him. And if you keep everything sterile enough, it might not kill you. Because that's how he coped with the adults dying. Okay, keep it sterile, keep it clean, then nothing will happen to me. And then he gets the minor cough and he goes into full mental health crisis with, oh God, I'm dying. You can actually convince your body that you're more ill than you are.
And you just wrote the realistic retcon.
Yep.
Because that's what it could have been.
Right, yep.
It could have been psychosymptomatic. He was sick, but not as sick as he thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he got better. But we're not even going to acknowledge he ever was sick or afraid of being sick, afraid of touch, any of it. You know what I mean? We're just going to pretend, no, the only issue Ram has ever had is that he hurt himself in reality space and hasn't walked since. We're turning him into Heidi. I don't even mind that storyline, that the reason he thought he couldn't walk anymore is because there was no one to diagnose him. There was no physical therapy, all that stuff. That's fine. I don't have a problem with Ram eventually walking again. It's been done. It's happened. There are case studies constantly. That's fine. But it's you need to acknowledge the man thought he was dying. There's a reason he thought he was dying. He was always getting sick and he took medications to avoid being sick. Mm-hmm. Why isn't he having an epiphany about the fact that, I haven't had my medications and I feel fine. Maybe I was never as sick as I thought I was. That's fine.
While it doesn't feel connected, the more I think about it, the more connected it feels. Because him not instantly being able to walk and thinking he must not be able to walk forever does match someone imagining that they're much iller than they are and being afraid of everything.
And see, that's what I'm saying. You just wrote it.
They could have done that. Him not taking the medicine made him realize that maybe that was in psychosomatically inhibiting himself.
And it matches.
You don't get that.
And it's not just not being able to walk because he thinks he can't walk because he hasn't tried since.
Right. Mm. And it's that's your retcon. Retcon everything. And they're just he was never sick. We're just going to pretend that never happened.
Never sick. He was never sick.
Oh, because we never address mental health actually in a proper way.
Because again, you just need some tough love and you'll get over it. And it's just are you kidding me?
Yeah, but that's what they do all the time. I mean, all Trudy needed was some tough love, right?
It's all anybody needs. Tough love and some determination. Roll up your sleeves. You need some grit. You'll get over this.
I don't understand who said, this was the right way to wipe out somebody's disability. I'm trying to find the right word for it, but yeah, it's beyond careless. It's just, no.
Because as I reiterated last time, it wasn't as if whatever was wrong with Ram was ambiguous.
Yeah. It was very clear.
Okay. Oh. So let's address it, please. But nope, they're just acting like it never, ever happened. I do like the beginning budding bromance between him and Slade. Even though, Ruby, you're an idiot. I know Slade's hot. I get it. But you have a clearly no paradise rule. You let him bring in an unconscious techno into your home. I don't know how he's paying for this. He's always out doing some earning credits. And now you're letting him bring in computer components into your... what are you doing, Ruby? It's her first impression. And that's the problem. Her first impression is no nonsense. I don't take crap. But people forget that she immediately caves as soon as she meets Slade. And it's it's not that she becomes this. I don't want to say weak, but you know what I mean? She always was. It's not.
It's
a pretty face is all it took, you know?
It's Slade comes in and it's, here comes the smolder and she'll do everything he'll say. She'll be fine with anything.
She won't. She'll question. She gives a token question to things, but she just But he just took over the town, you know, yeah. And she's like, you can take over me mm-hmm. immediately. Because I'm like, that's weird, Ruby. This is where you put your foot down. I get it. Okay, you didn't want a dying man in front of your saloon. Fine. You're not that harsh. Okay. That just says you're not a cruel person. Fine. The computer stuff, come on.
Mm-mm.
I also think it's slightly confusing as to what Ram wants from, I mean, what Slade wants from Ram. Now, later, it seems like when we find out what Slade wanted this whole time towards the last third of the season, it seems that when he found Ram, he initially saved him because he was dying. Like he couldn't, mm-hmm. as he said, I didn't want to live in a world where someone would be able to do that. He saves him. And then he thinks of abandoning him because he's obnoxious and a pain in the butt. But then he puts two and two together. We know he's searching for his brother and has likely figured out that his brother took up with this group. And he's got one of those people in he's got a techno. Maybe this person can help him find his brother. But it's like Slade's plan is a little odd because it's like he doesn't ask anything of Ram to get the information he needs about these technos to find his brother. This conversation between Slade and Ram at first makes you think the computers were Slade's idea, but they're not. Slade just simply said, I need you to be useful. And Ram apparently told Slade, I'm only useful with a computer. And that's why Slade went out and got him a computer. And as Ram says, look, you wanted me to be useful. I am only useful with a computer. And it's like, okay, so if the computer wasn't Slade's idea, what if Ram hadn't mentioned a computer? What was Slade's idea going to be to utilize Ram to find his brother?
Yeah, because I can imagine if he actually asked Ram, like, okay, I'm looking for my brother. He was probably one of you. And Ram going, like, yeah, could be, but I would have to be able to get into our database because I have no clue who you mean.
Mm. Yeah, that works. That works. But he has to have told Ram ahead of time he was looking for someone.
Yeah.
And instead, Ram's setting up a computer to be useful, and Slade has mm-hmm. no idea what he's going to use the computer for.
Yeah.
He's just getting him a computer so he'll be useful. But in what way, Slade? What's the plan? How are you going to utilize Ram to get your brother if you? None of this was your idea. Right.
I'm looking for Josh. You know Josh. Or someone that was...
And that's... A
techno named Josh that was taken from this and this place when he was little.
And see, that's the downfall of keeping Slade a mystery. That is the downfall. They want us to still wonder what Slade's deal is, which means Slade has to act like he doesn't know what technos are
mm-hmm.
and does nothing to move towards getting to his brother. And it's like, so you're just waste. No wonder you haven't found Josh, because you waste a lot of time, Slade. This is a strong lead to get to your brother. It's going to turn out, oh, he knew what a techno was this whole time and never utilizes that information to get information. He's just seeing which way the wind blows, seeing where Ram might lead him. Like, this is not efficient searching for somebody. This is, I mean, I'll give you points. You're over the mall rats. You are searching, but like, you're not doing it well. No wonder you guys have been separated for years. If this is your this is how you do it. When you find someone who might have information, you don't tell them anything to get information from them. You just watch them, I guess. Hang out with them, see what they spill. Come on.
And it's like, and his brother was taken, but what happened then? Like, he could have been flown off in a plane.
I think this would have made he and Ram's relationship a lot more interesting if Slade had asked him, like, look, you're a techno. I need you to level with me. My brother was taken by your outfit. And so that Ram knew the whole time that Slade was trying to get to Mega. Like, it should be a surprise to everyone but Ram that this is what Slade was trying to do. And Ram is hiding the fact that he knows
it's like
who Mega and Josh, that Mega and Josh are the same person. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe he didn't know that Mega was Josh, but he is leading Slade down this trail of thinking, I'm going to help you find your brother, but really I'm just trying to get back in charge of the technos. Like, that would have been very fascinating.
I want to get back into my system, and this is a good excuse to get the stuff I need to get back into my system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would work. He doesn't even need to know who Josh is. He doesn't even have to look for him.
Yep, he can just let Slade think he is. And then Ram can be as surprised as everybody else when it discovers that Meg is actually Josh. You know what I mean? Like, you can still have the wonderful surprise that Slade's brother that he's been searching for is Mega. Ha ha ha, wonderful. There'd be some smart kids who would be like, I knew it, I figured it out, blah, blah, blah. But it'd be a wonderful surprise for everybody. But it makes no sense that Slade doesn't ask him and that he's just totally cool with Ram having a computer and he doesn't know what Ram's going to do with the computer. And it's like, why are you not utilizing this guy to get the information you need? And if I was Josh, I'd be pissed off too at this point. Because I'd be like, your methods of searching for me were awful, big brother.
That's the level Trudy would have gone to emotion-wise if she never escaped. If they've left her for years.
This is on par with the Mallrats refusing to use a picture of Trudy and Brady to find her when they went missing. Like, you have pictures, and the kids did a stick drawing instead.
We're looking for someone.
It's on par with that.
Yep.
She's very skinny with a big head.
And a baby.
And a baby. Like, are you kidding me? Like... But yeah, that's the problem with wanting Slade's mission to be a secret this whole time.
Yep. And that's a stupid thing. All we needed to know was that he told Ram to look for someone.
Yep.
We didn't even need to know it was his brother. It was just, I'm looking for someone who was taken.
Because he should be asking a lot more questions of Gabe as a techno.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he can still pretend he doesn't know what technos are, but he should be trying to grill for more information about the technos. And maybe you could say he's trying to ingratiate himself into a trust relationship with Gabe so that Gabe will be more forthcoming and won't be suspicious of other questions later. Fine. But that's not what happens. Slade is never trying to get information from Gabe. The whole relationship, you know? And so it's like, Ram is using Slade, as he should, but Slade is not using Ram, as he should. And it doesn't make sense why.
The only other reason I could think of is, and that doesn't match with how we saw Josh with the age and everything when he was being taken, because that still annoys me to this day. But I could imagine that he saw something of his little brother in Ram. Like, oh, he's one of those geeky kids, and what can we do to make him more comfortable?
Because as the story goes, it's basically telling us that Slade has been searching for his brother and ends up on a side quest where he's helping this quote-unquote cripple for no real reason, except he's a decent guy, and he'll do anything for this guy. And it's like, I thought you were searching for your brother. Like, no wonder you haven't found him. Because you keep getting distracted on these side quests that have nothing to do with finding him.
Which is why he makes a good mole rat.
Yeah, that's fair. Absolutely belongs in the group. But yeah, it's just like, they really needed to let it out the bag early, what Slade is looking for. And then everything just makes a lot more sense and is more streamlined. And you have a better excuse to tell Ruby as to why he's got all these computer components and be like, he's searching for someone. Look, Ruby, I'm looking for my brother. He's trying to help me find him. Okay? Like, instead of this stupid, Slade's dying, I'm trying to find a cure, and her going on this insane, I have to have his baby before he's gone from this earth. Like... It's like they wrote this story so the craziest BS could happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was so much opportunity to give us any explanation.
Yeah, because it means that Slade stumbled upon his brother completely by accident. When you really think about it, you guys, this story is telling you that Slade's searching for his brother, but he only accidentally ends up with the people that will lead him to his brother, because the effort he's putting into finding his brother is almost nothing. Because if you at least say, okay, he knew what technos were, and that's why he and Ram hook up, and he understands that, you know, Ebony's against the technos, he ends up in her grasp, and he's like, ooh, I can use her too, on and on, it makes more sense. But basically, the story is telling us, no, it was all an accident. He didn't know what technos were. He's just hooked up with Ram, doesn't know how Ram can help him. He's just helping Ram, ends up hooked up with Ebony, doesn't understand the connection there, finds out by accident that Mega is his brother and he's it's like, come on. Now you just made Slade look really stupid.
Yeah, whereas it would have been just so easy. Even, yeah, like I said, Even with just, you know, oh, you remind me of someone I used to know. I want to help you and get you your computer stuff because of that. Or just the whole, maybe you could help me find him.
I help you, you help me, quick, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And anything to show that he's putting some effort.
Yeah, and they could have left out who the guy he was looking for was for ages.
Because otherwise, it's like, Slade is set up as a guy who would do anything to help a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even his flashback shows he was willing to get captured to save his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was willing to risk slavery if it meant that he led these people away from his little brother. Okay, so that tells you something about his personality. He's willing to do anything to help Ram, even though Ram's not doing anything for him. He helps Ebony, you know? So it's like, okay, so he's just a hapless fool with good intentions who will just help anybody
mm-hmm.
except to get help to find his brother? Like, what the... Don't make me question Slade because he's like one of the few likable spots of season 5. Come on. But in some ways, his character is nonsensical because they wanted him to be a mystery the whole time. And that only works for so long. Bray was a mystery when we first met him, but they understood that in storytelling, he can't stay a mystery forever because he won't make sense. Annie, she's a mystery for a little while, but they can't keep her a mystery forever because she wouldn't make sense. Like, did they even, what did Kalen say? Did they know the whole time that they were going to be brothers? Because I could have sworn he said that they didn't know and that it was just as much a surprise to the actors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it seems like even at this point, they hadn't decided that Mega was Slade's brother and that's what Slade's doing. And that makes everything make more sense. They didn't know what Slade's mission was. Therefore, there are no hints of it. He's just a mystery nice guy. And, okay, never mind. It all makes sense now. It all makes sense because the writers didn't know what Slade was doing.
The writers knew that they needed a cute, hot guy. And Jay wasn't doing it for part of the group.
Jay and Lex had worn out their welcome. And they were like...
We need a new Bray.
We need a new Bray, but we want him to have rougher edges. So let's just meld him and Lex together into a new person.
Let's make him a cool guy. And, you know, with a motorcycle. But he does need to have the hair.
Yep. The chaps.
And and a little bit of mystery.
Yeah. A little bit of a bad boy in there with a good heart.
Just not the poncho.
Lord, wow. Yeah, we're gonna later. We don't know why he's here.
It's like they did casting and they were like, ooh, he's cute. Surely we can write him in somehow.
Season 5, we do not care. It's on the tin!
It's a shame, really. I mean, there's so much that could have been wonderful with some of these characters, especially with someone like Slade, if they only gave us a little bit more. If they only put in a bit more effort.
And what's crazy, he is one of the few characters who still manages to survive this terrible writing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they didn't have a plan, he still manages to survive it because it's like
yep.
fan fiction writers have stitched together what it was and
mm-hmm.
there's some holes, but he still kind of survives it. You know, you don't end up hating him by the end of the season. So
because there are those holes.
It's a miracle.
Because the holes are that big that we had to fill them in for ourselves.
There's some plausible deniability in his storyline, even though, let's face it, it's that way because the writers hadn't thought it through.
Cool. That brings us to our final thoughts of the episode. After her running with Mega, May confronts him at the hotel, confident that Stats is nowhere to be found and that Mega has no hold over her. Until he shows her a video of Stats confessing May's suggestion to delete Celine. So yeah, what do you make of that final cliffhanger?
The look on May's face was on par to when Ellie and Jack presented mm-hmm. that picture to Danny with her father. That is the yep. I just shat myself face. I am so screwed.
Yep.
And I can't help but love Mega more for it.
Really appreciate that like he gave her hard proof. This wasn't word of mouth. This isn't I was told this. Like he recorded it so she could see there is no doubt and that I know this, and your friends will too. Like, I have you. I appreciated that, because often it's just, I'm afraid someone's going to tell something. Because we've seen May betray people for less. You know what I mean? Like, we have seen that she'd just be afraid that you might say something. And so she's got to cover her tracks. It's in 4K, sweetie, what you did. And she doesn't even think for a second that her friends won't believe that, that Stats might have been saying it to save his life, anything, you know?
Or that it might have been fabricated.
Anything, especially it could have been fabricated, any of it. He didn't need Stats to convince, say it. He could have made something up with Stats' face, and she could easily tell everyone.
but she knows she did.
That's what's great. She knows she said this to them. She knows how real this is. And the look on her face was priceless.
and that combined with her knowing that, okay, Mega took care of Stats in some way. Oh goodness, if he could do that, what's he gonna do to me?
I didn't feel an ounce of empathy for May here, because
no,
this isn't a situation where, like, she didn't mean for Dal to be killed. That was an accident. It wasn't even the goal of what she was involved in that day. The goal was to trap the rebels by making them think that Trudy was available to, they'd come after her. You know what I mean? And they'd just be imprisoned with the rest of them. That's what she's thinking. And it was all to keep the Guardian from targeting her. Okay. Dal was an unfortunate, you know, side effect of that. She didn't mean for that to happen. Most of the things she does, nobody was supposed to get hurt. It sucks. And she feels a little bad for it. This, though, like, I don't feel any... You tried to get Celine killed. You said the words. You lied about what the Mallrats were doing so that they would kill your competition. That's messed up. And you deserve to be caught out. I don't feel an ounce of empathy for you for putting yourself in this situation. This was completely self-inflicted. All because you want a man who never wanted you. I mean, I know, pride's the dick. He led you on. He played with your heart. None of that is Celine's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to dislike Celine for other reasons, fine. Go ahead. Dislike her. Think, you know, you can be like, I think she's a crappy girlfriend, to be honest. I saw the way she treated Ryan. Or blah, 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 blah. I don't think she's a great friend. She can have reasons for not liking Celine. But hating her on behalf of pride? May, why would you throw it all away for that guy? Stand up, girl.
She does something like this, and yet she isn't deemed the most unhinged one.
Yeah, that's so true. Because that's some messed up stuff. And it wasn't like a... And you know what? She also has to live the fact that pride heard her say that. He died knowing.
Yeah.
Knowing that about her.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, his last words weren't to berate her. It was just be like, tell my girl I love her, man. It almost feels like that was spiteful from pride. He wanted her to know with his last breath, it was never you. You know what? I would have so much respect for Pride if that's why he said what he said when he died. He just wanted May to know. You can try to kill her and it won't matter. I'll never choose you.
Oh, you feel sorry for May now.
That makes it so much better. That makes Pride's
like instant
lost
karma,
so much
man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is there. She's the last face he's going to see on this mortal coil, and he wanted her to know, I don't want it to be your face. Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is fully deserved karma, and I thought Laura played it brilliantly, because she just knows, I am so screwed. There's no talking my way out of this. There's nothing I could try, but I know I did this. You know, I know that I did try to have her killed, and everyone's going to know that about me, you know, and there's no excuses you can give, May. You let the darkness take over.
Yep.
And it's very clear. She's going to do whatever this guy says. We know that about her character. She's not going to try to explain herself ahead of time, tell her friends, look, Meg has got something on me and he's going to use me against you. And I need you to know that. Da, da, da. No, she is going to do whatever he tells her to do.
And she's just going to make it worse.
And make it worse. Which makes it more annoying that she's forgiven later and like compared to other people who cooperated, like that does piss me off. It's right on par with them trying to act like Ebony and Amber have been equally terrible to each other or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's right on par with that. Cause it's like, no, you can't come back from this, May. And like later they're going to try to have her come back from this and have people, and they'll use Amber. They'll use Amber again to make it seem like what, well, if you could do this, May could too, blah, blah, blah. It's the same. And it's like, it is not the same. Okay. Not the same. And you guys know I've defended May a lot. You know, when other people were like, no, screw her. I'm like, nah, nah, nah. Let's look at it from this perspective. But at this point, I'm like, no, May, you dug this grave. As they say, when you go for revenge, you know, you dig two graves, you know?
I'm just realizing how much more she is like Ebony when it comes to, you know, someone else has the man I want. And while Ebony just tries to fake Ember's dad, May actually tries to get her competition killed.
Well, it's not like Ebony hasn't threatened to have Amber killed. She, I mean, she did that back in season one. The only thing, only reason it didn't happen is because her followers are getting sick of her. You know, that's the only reason why Amber was safe is because they were like, nah, we're not going after her. We know it's all over a guy and blah, 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 you know. But yeah, she would have had Amber killed 100%.
And yet these girls are deemed sane and Trudy is deemed dramatic and unhinged for being annoyed by Celine and Bray back then.
Honestly, I ain't gonna lie. When you look at the whole scope of this world and what characters have gone through, Trudy is remarkably stable. Probably way more than she ought to be. But yeah, I loved that moment when he shows her, like, I'm not playing with you. I have the evidence. I know exactly what you did. So you'll be doing what I want from now on. And May is like, crap. I did feel a little bad for Stats. Because again, Stats wasn't trying to hurt anybody. He just wanted his leader back. And he was going for ransom. And it was Wizard who just, he went crazy. Stats ran away. He was like, I don't want any part of this. Now, granted, that doesn't make him innocent. Because he could have saved Celine's life. He knew what Wizard was going to do to her. And he didn't bother. He left her to deal with Wizard on her own. He ran. Mm-hmm. So he is culpable. If Celine had died, that would have been on Stats' hands. Okay.
He ran.
But I do have a little empathy for him because it's like, this isn't what he had signed up for. And so he's that guy who went on a burglary and one of his friends loses it and kills someone. And now he's going to prison because he was there. You know, that's Stats. It's like, you shouldn't.
Yeah. They left him driving the van.
Right. Like, you're not innocent. You shouldn't have gone to the burglary. You shouldn't have broken the law. And now you're going down for a bigger crime than you signed up for. That's Stats. And you can see that all in his eyes before whatever Mega did to him.
I like the fact that he saw straight through May, though.
I also like that they're leaning into, now that the mystery of what's going on with Mega is over and whose side he is, it's nice to see him chew the scenery a little bit with his so-called villainy, you know, like that we know he's orchestrating all of this. He's got a plan. He plans on scaring the populace into conformity, control. I think he's enjoying himself a little bit more.
Yeah, it does feel that way.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more enjoyable. Don't get me wrong, I love an enigmatic, you know, Mega, but I like that it's like, okay, now let's drop that and let's just get to the meat. We know what it is, what he's doing. And I like how Mega responds when his plans go the way he likes them to go, because he's so pleased with himself.
All right, cool. That brings Series 5, Episode 9 to a close. Thank you very much to the panel, and we'll see you next time for Episode 10. So until then, bye.
Bye.
Bye.